know about you, but this was the fastest year ever, 2019. I don't know where it went. So here we are in a new year already, and 2020, and a new sermon series. And I hope that you'll be blessed as we look at some of the heroes who struggled out of Hebrews chapter 11. How did I choose who I'd talk about? I mean, there are so many people in the Bible that I could mention. So I decided I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, find a few people in there that I relate with that I think we could all relate with. And so I came up with six in this series. And the first person we're going to look at is the father of our faith, Abraham. Now, to study the entire life of Abraham would be a long series. So all I can do is just give you a little overview. But the thing that stands out to me about Abraham is his what? Faith. His faith. He operated by faith. That's how he lived his life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Apostle Paul says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." My friends, it's my experience that most of us live the reverse. I mean, as Christians, we walk by sight, not a whole lot by faith. And I'm talking about me too. I'm basically a sight walker. I see pretty much where I'm going. I've not been required to live on a lot of faith in my life. And in a way, it's embarrassing to me. So my sight is I've got a paycheck, I've got a family, I've got a wife, I've got a car, I've got a house, I've got all these wonderful things, and so I don't need a lot of faith. And I don't know about you, but that might be where you are too. The closest I've come to living by faith happened about 10 years ago. I realized the time had come in my ministry at Grace after 32 years to turn the reins over to Derek, my executive pastor, and so he could, you know, go forward in the vision of the church. And so one night I came to the elders and I said, you know, I think it's time for me to move and bring Derek on. They were shocked. They weren't ready about that. And so I told them why, and then they said, well, you know, if this happens, we would like you to stay on staff. And I said to them these words, just came right out of me. I said, only if Derek would want me to stay. I go home, I tell Marie the story. I say, you know, I told the elders and everything. And then I said to them, you know, they said, would you want to stay? I said, only if Derek would have me to stay. She said, do you realize what you've done? You just fired yourself if he doesn't want you to stay. And we would be in a place where no job. And all of a sudden I realized I had just opened up the door of faith and not really realizing that I might not have a job and have to have total reliance on the Lord. By the way, Derek says, I'll stay on staff. So I stayed on for another 3 years, and then I went into interim ministry. But you know, faith. Most of us don't need a lot of it today, if we are honest. But faith is a major theme in the Bible. The word faith is used literally hundreds and hundreds of times, and there's a word group for faith: believe, trust, and hope. They all have the same kind of nuance in the scriptures. Now, the word faith in the Bible is used in a variety of ways, and I'm going to zero in on two of them, maybe the two major ways that faith is used. The first way that faith is used is in saving faith. That you have faith in the Son of God, that you cannot get to heaven on your own, that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that is the faith that bears you into eternal dwellings. And it's the faith that saves. Now, that's a great faith, and we all need that faith. That's where we start our faith journey, is faith and believing in our salvation from Jesus Christ. But that's not what I'm talking about today. The faith I'm talking about is the faith that is exemplified in Abraham's life, and I'm calling it living faith. Living faith. We go from saving to living faith. And so living faith is this daily walk by God when we cannot see the outcome and we don't know what's going to happen. We have confidence that what God said is true when there's no outward evidence to support those promises. Now, isn't the basic definition of faith, this kind of living faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, specifically verse 1? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is a strong statement of faith. Living faith is complete reliance on God with obedience when you cannot see the fulfillment of a promise you need badly. That's what faith is all about. And so when I think of somebody who lived by faith, I don't think of many people other than Abraham. And the spiritual blessings that came through Abraham came to the entire believing community throughout history because he is the father of our faith. So let me introduce you to Abraham. His given name was Abram. Abram, which meant exalted father. And God changed his name to Abraham when Abraham was 99 years young. And Abraham means prolific father or father of multitudes. And he was the one that God said, your descendants will be as many as the stars. Just take a look at night and see those stars. You will have descendants just like that. Now, Abraham lived, get this, over 4,000 years ago. I have seen the gate where Abraham would have walked in northern Israel in the place called Dan. I've seen that gate where I was right in the shadows of where he was. Marie and I have a piece of pottery in our dining room that goes back 4,000 years to the time of Abraham. And yet the interesting thing is 4,000 years ago and Abraham is still relevant to our lives today. Isn't that something? 4,000 years ago speaks directly to our lives today. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like you to stand for the reading of the Word of God as you hear a little bit about this man, Abraham. And right out of the gate, Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, that's Isaac, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You may be seated. So here we have Abram, a pure, raw pagan living in Ur of the Chaldees. That ancient city was located eastwards across the Fertile Crescent and in southern Mesopotamia near the Euphrates River, about 150 miles southeast of Babylon. Today, Ur is southern Iraq, about 100 miles northwest of the Kuwait border. And Abraham was living this comfortable pagan life with absolutely no knowledge of the one true God when God said to him, leave your relatives and your country and go to the land I will show you. Now, we don't know how this message came to Abraham, but God was a total stranger to him at that time. And Abraham did an incredible thing, this pagan. At 75, he quit his job, he packed his stuff, he took his immediate family and moved to Haran on the top of the Fertile Crescent. Now, do you understand what this is like? Suppose you're at home today and a total stranger calls you on the phone. And he says, I want you to relocate somewhere out west. Leave Fredonia, leave Dunkirk. Sell your house, move your family, get an apartment in Chicago, and wait for further orders. That's exactly what Abraham did. And so he moves up to Haran at the top of the Fertile Crescent, not knowing where he was going, when God speaks to him again and says, keep on moving. I'm going to show you a chunk of land. I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. And he was absolutely clueless about what God was talking about, but he took off again, westward, across the Fertile Crescent, having no idea where he would land. Maybe he thought in the Mediterranean Sea, who knows what. But he trusted God. And when they came into the land of Canaan, God said, this is it. I'm giving you this piece of real estate to you and your descendants. And God finally revealed the destination. And isn't it good to know where you're going to live? But Abraham had two problems. Problem number one, he was 75. He had no children. Sarah was barren. And God said, you'd have a lot of children. That's problem number one. Problem number two, Canaan is covered with fierce, like, warring tribes. And God said, I'm going to give you this land, but how in the world is little old Abraham, this clan, going to conquer all those tribes in Canaan? And it seemed like the circumstances towered over the promises. Did he hear God correctly? It seemed impossible. So Abraham said, one problem at a time. Let me start with my descendants. And he named his slave Eliezer as his descendant. And God said, foul, flag, no, that's not what I want. And so the scripture said that God took him out again, showed him the skies. He said, you see those stars up there? I'm telling you, your children will be just like those stars. Believe me. And it said that Abraham believed God. But get this. After that starry night, 10 more years go by and still no son. And now he's about 100. And Sarah says to him, have a child by my maid Hagar. Abraham did. Ishmael was born. But God said, no, people, I don't need your help. He's not the one either. And so finally, at age 100, the unbelievable thing happens to Abraham. He gets his son. And at 90, Sarah carries a child to full term. That's the reason you can see that she named him Isaac. It means laughter. It's funny even to tell you what's going on here. And that first star that he saw in the sky is born. And they have their heir. And Sarah would have been on all the talk shows and tabloids in Canaan after that. Well, let's move to problem two, the land. How was he going to get the land when it's inhabited by hostile tribes? God made it very clear, by my promise, this is your land. But here's the complication. Here's the complication. Genesis 15, 13 says God told Abraham that his descendants wouldn't get the land for what? Hundreds of years. In fact, the scriptures tells us that Abraham lived there, never did get the land. He was an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land dwelling in tents. He was nomadic, moving around with no actual real estate deed, only a promise that one day he would get that. His descendants. You talk about faith. Here's a guy who left his home, a pagan. He meets God, goes to a place. God said, this is it, but you're not going to get it. Not for 400 years. And he believed God. That is faith. But wait a minute. The land and the heir. Now God pushes him to the limit. Abraham, give up your only son, your heir. Kill him in sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And what did Abraham do? He took his son to Mount Moriah, and he was willing to do what God told him to do. Now, I haven't figured all this out. It sounds a little bloody to me. But God knew what he was doing, and Abraham lived his whole life to the point of putting the knife to the throat of his son because he lived a life of faith. Listen to Galatians chapter 3. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. How do you like that? Justify us by faith. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. May we receive his blessings as well as his children. We are people of faith. We are the spiritual offspring of Abraham. But I have a question for you. Is there any one of us would dare say we had faith like Abraham? That'd be presumptuous, wouldn't it? Starting with me. I don't think anybody has ever had faith like Abraham that I've ever met. And yet that needs to be our goal, to have a faith like Abraham. So it leads me to my big idea. True living faith must operate under four conditions. And what I want you to see today are the four conditions that propelled Abraham's faith. And if we can understand these four conditions, it will propel our faith forward as well. So I want you to see the conditions of faith that we find in Abraham's life. Condition number one, faith must operate during times of insecurity. You got to have faith in times of insecurity. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a piece of real estate. Quit your job and go on the path I'm telling you. Say goodbye to your friends. If you accept that mission, I'll show you where you're going after you get going. And it's going to take some time. And Abraham says he went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And Abraham believed that God would do what he said he would do. So he took action, gave up everything as he knew it except his family. And Abraham went into a life of insecurity. He didn't know where he was going. No longer would it be sight, it would be faith. No longer would it be his mother or his wife's words, it would be the word of God. He had confidence in the promises of God, even though he couldn't see it. Now, we in America, we're people who like our security, aren't we? We don't like insecurity. We like our house. We like our paycheck. We like our things. We like our retirement. We don't want it threatened, not even by God. Now, all this security, my friends, is so insecure. We have built on sand thinking it's rock. And in a moment of time, go to California, Paradise, California, 90% of the city is gone by fire last year. Go to Australia, it's all gone in that whole area there. And they thought it was forever. Life is insecure. We've got to have faith. And our security rests only in the promises of God, that He will supply our needs, that He is our rock, that He will never leave us or forsake us. And I'll tell you, if security is your goal, you don't need a lot of faith. But once you realize life is really on sinking sand, except from the promises of God, insecurity will drive your faith. But there's a second condition I want you to see. Faith must operate during times of inability. Not just insecurity, but inability. Abraham and Sarah were not able to have children. Inability. And the thought of having children was laughable. Marie and I last summer went to a wedding. The groom was 101 and the bride was 89. He stood down here about 4'6", kind of shrunk at 101, and she come down the aisle at 89, and you know what I did? I chuckled the whole way down because I was thinking of Abraham and Sarah. They were unable to have children, and the bold facts were it was impossible for them, but you know it is not impossible with God. And over again, the scriptures, with God, nothing is impossible. And so Romans 4 picks up this theme of human inability. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. He did not weaken in faith when he considered, here it comes, inability, his own body, which was as good as dead since he was 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Inability. No distrust made him waver, though, it says, concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Your inability is no problem with God when he makes a promise. Marie and I got married, and for 7.5 years, we didn't have any children. We did everything we could. We believed God wanted us to have children. We even knew in our hearts we thought God wanted us to have 4 children. But we tried and tried and tried, and it seemed like we were, and we went to the medical procedures, surgeries, and that kind of thing. And one day the doctor said, you have a greater chance of going to the moon and back than ever having a child. Inability. Now, I'm not saying God is honored and obligated, that is, to do what we want him to do, but in his grace, God gave Marie and I 3 adopted children, and you know what happens when you adopt some children. Many times you get the biological one as well, and that's what happened. But we give glory to God because we were unable to have children, and God blessed us with them, and he gave us a promise that if we followed him, that he would always touch us in a way that we needed to be touched. No mountain is too high for God, and we need faith in our times of inability. And God was blessed to give us children. Condition number three, faith must operate during times of instability, insecurity, inability, now instability. And God made Abraham three promises. I will give you a land, that's promise number one. I will give you seed, children, that's number two. And number three, I will bless the nations through you. Those were the promises that God made to Abraham. But throughout Abraham's last 100 years, he wasn't seeing any of that happen. And at 175, he died. He had to deal with problem after problem after problem. The promise wasn't coming. And at many times, it looked like it would never happen. So he had to flee to Egypt for his life. And then he came back to Canaan, had to survive a famine. And then he could have been executed by Pharaoh about lying about his wife. And then when he came back to Canaan, it was strife between Lot and him. And who took the best part of the land? Lot took the best part. And then he got mixed up in the wars there. And finally in Sodom and Gomorrah, interceding for them. And yes, Abraham had the promise of God, but he lived constantly in the midst of frustration and turmoil. And Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham never did receive the promises. He only welcomed them from a distance because his life was lived in instability. And he wondered whether God would ever bring the promise. Well, what are the promises that God gives us? I want to give you the two major promises that God gives us. God promises, number one, complete salvation. You can bank on that. When you get saved, you're totally saved. Number two, he promises to give you help through life. He doesn't promise to solve all your problems, but he promises to give you help through all of your life. No promise that you won't suffer. No promise that things will go the way you want them to go all the time. But God tells us if we love him, eventually all things will work what? Together for those who love him who are called according to his purpose. And so in times of instability, we need to believe in God's overarching promises. No matter how bad it gets, God will see us to heaven eventually and personally. And we need to trust him now in the darkness what we have seen him say in the light. So I ask you, what's tearing you apart today? What's unstable in your life? For what good is faith if you can't trust him when things are difficult? But there's one more condition of Abraham's faith. It must operate in times of inconceivability. In times of inconceivability. Our family has a number of favorite movies. One of them is The Princess Bride. You ever see The Princess Bride? If you haven't, you need to see it. But one of the favorite words in that movie is by the Sicilian. Is that? Yeah, Sicilian. And he says, inconceivable, way through that movie. And so I'm thinking about here, in our life, when things are inconceivable, God was able to do the impossible. And so Isaac had been named the heir of Abraham. Now God is asking for his death, the inconceivable. And the promise and the command seem so contradictory. Abraham was deeply affected by God's command, and I think it shook him to his core, but he obeyed. He carried out every step, and Abraham was going to offer up to God his son, but God provided the ram in the thicket, and he offered up that as a burnt offering. Now Abraham certainly had more faith than I'll ever have. And the Bible tells us why. Hebrews 11, 19. Abraham was so sure that God meant what he said about Isaac that even if he did sacrifice him, he fully believed that God would raise him from the dead. Now, there are times in which God seems to do or allow the inconceivable in our lives. An untimely death, a terrible accident, a terminal illness, the death of a dream, a terrible loss that doesn't fit with a plan. Will we trust God then? Will we surrender to God when things here on earth look so upside down and still trust him in the face of the inconceivable? Some things will never make sense to us. Will we still be convinced that God loves us and is keeping his promises? Because faith is trusting acceptance and recognition that God is keeping his promises no matter how impossible, unimaginable, and illogical things may look to us. How we need faith in times of inconceivability. Well, faith is this: trusting God when we can't see something clearly. And so it's so important to understand that God made an oath by his promises in Hebrews chapter 6, that he swore by himself there was no one greater than him, that what he promised would come to pass. And Abraham found the secret of faith in insecurity, in inability, in times of instability, and times of inconceivability. My friends, I ask you today, would you be willing to be like Abraham? As you look at your life, is there something that you're not trusting God for? As you look at your life, are you afraid to take that risk when God is calling you to do something? I'm asking you to consider today doing what you've been afraid to do, to step out in faith for something that you and God know about, nobody else. And I'm just wondering whether you would have that faith today to do that. And so as Sharon goes to the keyboard, if God has moved you through this sermon on Abraham for you to step out to your own fertile crescent and cross over into a land that you don't even know where you're going to, but God says, by faith, I want you to go. I want you to do something. I want you to take a bold step. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are right now and see whether this week you'd be willing to do something you've been resistant to doing, stepping out in faith for the glory of God and the betterment of what God is calling you to do in life. So right now, across the worship center, if God is calling on you to step out some area of faith, be like Abraham, stand right now to your feet and take a step this week. So hard to be people of faith sometimes, but a number have stood. There's something that is in their life that they know they should probably step forward into, but have been a little bit slow or reluctant to do so. But as they've been challenged by Abraham's faith to step out, you will not call them to sacrifice their children, Father, but it could be a big thing. It could be a smaller thing. Whatever it is, Lord, give them the grace to believe and the power to step that your promises are true and that you will never leave them or forsake them, and they will follow you wherever you lead. And that's my prayer for them today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.